So at the end of my sermon today, I'm actually going to give an invitation if you would like to be water baptized today. Wait, we have clothes for you. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus and you haven't been baptized, today could be your day. So I'm just telling you that in advance so you can maybe think about that and let the Spirit of God prompt you to respond in that way. We're going to go to God's word because the scripture says that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. How many of you need a word from God today? We elevate God's word over our own words. My words can't really help you, but God's word, you know, one word from God can change your life in an instant. One word from God can heal a broken heart. Smucker family. One word from God can plant a dream in your heart. One word from God can change a mindset. So we go to God's word today. And I pray that we would be changed by it. So we've been on this journey looking at this word crossroads. And a crossroad is simply a decision that puts you in a life-altering direction, right? So we're faced as followers of Jesus. It's not like we just make one decision and that sets us on a path. We're faced with lots of crossroads. Are we gonna continue to follow Jesus in a certain situation or not? And so the way we learn how to handle these different crossroads in life is to see, okay, how did Jesus give these crossroads to many people? And how did different people respond to him? And so we're gonna look at a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 26. And there are three different responses to Jesus. And I would invite you to see if you can identify these three different responses and see which one you identify with. So Matthew chapter 26, I want to start reading in verse 1. Let's let God's word speak to us. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." And so Matthew, who's documenting this, recording it, he gives us a setting and it kind of paints the picture of when this is taking place. And so for us, Easter is in two weeks. And so this is taking place about just a few days before Jesus would be crucified. And so it gets us in that kind of picture where the disciples and where Jesus are, where they are. Verse 3, at that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed. Oh, wasn't that considerate of them? We just hold off for a moment. He said, not during the Passover celebration, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste," they said. John's gospel lets us know that that was Judas who said that. I guess Matthew didn't want to call him out. I don't know. John didn't mind calling him out. "What a waste," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." And again, John's gospel gives us a little bit of commentary in John chapter 12 that Judas, he said, "What a waste," but he really didn't care about the poor. He was in charge of the treasury, and so he was stealing money for himself. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. That was the amount you could purchase a slave in the first century. And from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Have you ever noticed that two people can see the same thing and have two different perspectives? See it completely different? Two people can experience the same thing and have completely different experiences. Have you ever noticed that? That's called marriage, right? It's called parenting. It's called leadership. It's called church. And in this passage, we see people who saw Jesus, walked with him, saw him in the flesh, have completely different understandings of who he was and treated him completely different. First group I noticed are the Pharisees. So I would encourage you to write this down. Number one, the Pharisees, they were blinded to Jesus because they wanted control. The Pharisees, they were highly educated. They were in charge of keeping the law of Moses pure and making sure everyone was obeying it. But when their control over time, their control got to them so much that then when they were threatened to lose that control, that's when they started plotting to kill Jesus. And they were blinded to who Jesus was because they were consumed with control. Second person I noticed was Judas. Number two, Judas was blinded to Jesus because he wanted prestige. What's prestige? Ambition. He wanted to be known for his success. He wanted to be known for the amount of money he had. Judas was one of the disciples. He was called by Jesus. And I think Judas saw Jesus as this political Messiah. And some Bible scholars, and I'm not sure where I stand on this, but some Bible scholars actually suggest that Judas was trying to create this showdown between Jesus and the religious leaders and the Pharisees, Jesus and the Roman government. He was trying to create this showdown so that Jesus would have to defeat them. But when Judas saw Jesus know that he was going to be arrested and then be crucified, he had this moment of grief, and he actually went back and he said, I've betrayed an innocent man, and he threw the money back. Third person we see in the story is Mary. Now, Matthew's gospel doesn't tell us it's Mary, but the other gospels let us know it was Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And Mary worshiped Jesus because of her devotion. It was an act of love and this selfless devotion. She took this very expensive perfume, the thing that was most valuable to her, and poured it out. When other people were criticizing her, she couldn't care less. She worshiped. And so my question to us today is, who do we identify with in those three? Who do we identify with? Now, for me, I mean, most likely, I think I can assume, nobody's here saying, man, I really resonate with the Pharisees. You know, the way they just, I don't know, rejected Jesus, plotted to kill him. I want to be more like them. Right? Nobody's saying that. No church is named First Church of the Pharisees, right? That's not a good church name. The Pharisees are the villains, right? When you read about them, it's like the music changed, the lights dim, and it's like, oh, they probably talk in these deep voices and whisper and have all these, you know, backdoor conversations. Like, they're the villains. Nobody's saying, I really identify with them. Or how about Judas? Nobody's really going to say, oh, I really resonate with how Judas handled himself. I mean, really, there's probably two boys' names that no one uses anymore. The first one, no one names their son Adolf Hitler, right? And no one names their son Judas. That name is just, it's marked for, and if your name's Judas, sorry, I hope that no one here is named Judas, but that wasn't in your control, right? But if I'm, if I was given a test, I would write the correct answers down, right? We want to be more like Mary. Mary gave what she just worshiped, the selfless act of love and devotion. She took what was most valuable to her, poured it out on Jesus, and it just is an example to us about worship. And so if I was given a test, I would write the right answers down. But when I honestly evaluate my own life, I actually see some of the Pharisees and some of Judas in me. Think about the Pharisees. They were blinded to Jesus because of they just wanted control so much. You know what it is for me? I like to be in control. I like to be in control of my time. I like to be in control of how I spend my money. I like to be in control of who I'm gonna hang out with, who I'm gonna spend time with. I like to be in control of what I'm going to learn. And so when I read this, I just say, God, please help me. I don't wanna be blinded to Jesus because I need to be in control. I see a little bit of Judas in me. Blinded to Jesus because of this desire for ambition. I look at my life and I'm like, I have some ambition. I have some goals that I'd like to achieve. There's some, I want my life to mean something. I want it to matter. But if we're not careful and if I'm not careful, I can make my life be consumed with my own ambition and actually be blinded to Jesus. And I just go back to that prayer and say, God, help me not to be blinded to this prestige, this human kind of sinful desire of just my life is about me. Help me to just hold my life and really understand what it is to follow Jesus. Help me to be more like Mary. Somehow she had this understanding of who Jesus was and she captured in that moment, she knew what the opportunity was that somehow she knew Jesus may not be there in the flesh anymore. So she took what was most valuable to her, poured it out on Jesus as this act of worship. And even when she was criticized, she didn't care. I think, man, sometimes I care what other people think too much. And she gave us this example of worship. Do you know what worship is? I want to give you four perspectives on worship. Number one, worship guards our hearts against this desire for more that can so easily trip us up. When we worship like Mary did, it guards ourselves from this desire for more prestige, desire for more control that can so easily and so quickly cause us to drift away. Worship. Number two, worship keeps our hearts soft toward God and our skin tough. If you're going to follow Jesus, fully abandoned, fully surrendered to him, there will be some people who have opinions about that. Oh God, may we not care what other people think. It's not easy. But worship keeps our hearts soft toward God and our skin tough. Number three, worship is a response to what Jesus saved us from. And again, when I look at how Mary responded, she must have just known and heard Jesus and took his words to heart when he said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. There's going to be a time when I'm no longer here in the flesh. And so in the moment, that opportunity, she said, I'm just going to give what is most precious to me. And it's this response when we know who Jesus is. And that brings me to number four. What is worship? Worship is an act of love and devotion to Jesus. And so the crossroad for all of us to wrestle with and to answer and to say, well, how will we respond to that is whom will we worship? What will we worship? If it is an act of love and devotion, who are we giving our worship to? You might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with water baptism? Water baptism is, you might be thinking, is it just this church tradition or ritual? No, it's not just a church ritual or tradition. Water baptism, this moment is when, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to publicly let everyone know, friends, family, this community, let everyone know, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And you may be wondering, but can't we just do that on dry land? Why do you have to get into a pool? The Apostle Paul, he helps us understand why water baptism is so significant. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." And so when you are water baptized, it's a physical act. When you go down into the water, your physical body is going in. It's a way to identify with Christ. When Jesus was buried in the ground, when he died and he was buried in the ground, you're identifying when he was in the ground. And then when Jesus was rose from the dead to this resurrection life, when we come out of the water, that signifies your old life is gone and a new life has begun. That's resurrection life. And so to physically do that, we could just say, well, can I just think about doing that? But when you physically do that, it is not just so you can show to everyone how much you love Jesus. It is for you. It is a line in the sand saying, my old life of sin, my old life that created so much shame and guilt, all of that is in the past and a new life is ahead following Jesus. Living in this freedom that the Spirit of God wants to give you in life. Not concerned about what other people think, not concerned about, am I gonna mess up again? Is God gonna be mad at me? No, you understand that God is for you, not against you. And you might be saying, well, Matt, I need to clean up my life first before I make this step to be baptized. I got a mess to take care of. You know, there's a lot of mistakes that I made. So I just need to figure all that out. And I have some questions. Let me just figure all of that out. And then I'll come and make that decision. And you know what Jesus would say? Come. Bring your mess. Bring your doubts. Bring your questions. Bring your guilt. Bring your shame. You come to Jesus and he makes all things new. Paul continues, he said, you were dead because of your sins. You know, when you're dead, it's not like, it's just, man, that's really challenging. When you're dead, you can't really help yourself. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And so when we are water baptized, that is a way for you to understand it to a level that our minds can't always comprehend. But when your body makes that decision, understand, okay, my old life truly is gone. And you become a new creation in Christ. And so I wanna ask again, if you wanna be water baptized, today could be your day. If you decided to follow Jesus, but you've never been water baptized, I wanna encourage you, do it today. It's for you, it's not for me, it's not for our church, it's for you. And so I'm just gonna ask us to bow our heads. Just simply ask, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? You know, over the last few weeks and months, we've given out a lot of Bibles. People have raised their hand to get Bibles in a service. But that next step is getting water baptized. It is a line in the sand for your faith. And so our heads are bowed. If you wanna be baptized today, again, we have clothes for you. We have what you need. I wanna invite you just to raise your hand. It takes a lot of courage to make this decision, but I wanna invite you to do that, make that decision. Would you raise your hand? We had a couple people respond today. Oh, I see a bunch of hands. Come on, can we celebrate these individuals today? So what I'd like to do is just invite you to stand, and everybody's to stand, yeah. And if you raised your hand, or if you're like, yeah, I should have raised my hand, I want you to come up front here. So would you come on down to come out of the aisle? I know it takes a lot of courage to do this, but come on down, I won't bite you. all ages. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you've been in church all your life and you're like, I should have done this a while ago. This is a moment for your faith. Some more people coming. I'm actually gonna just have you kind of slide down a little bit. I'll take this. So here's what I'd like you to do. You guys can all face me. You guys can all face me. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to make this decision today. I'm super proud of you. But here's what I'd like you to do. We wanna know who you are. So I'm just gonna ask you for what's your name and just fill in the simple statement. I once was, maybe a word, maybe a phrase. It doesn't have to be your whole testimony. I once was, but now I'm this. So I once was lost, now I'm found. Well, I don't know what your personal story is, but we want to celebrate your story. All right, so I'm going to start here. Your name is?
Alexa.
And just say, I once was.
I once was afraid and I am now ready.
You're ready. Your name?
Gabby.
Gabby.
I once was lost and now I'm God's daughter.
You're God's daughter.
My name is Chris and I'm now a follower of Jesus.
Follower of Jesus. Love it. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Colby, and I once was lost, but now I'm prepared to see Jesus.
All right. What's your name?
My name is Will, and I once was doubted in myself, but now I'm not.
Now you're not.
My name is Hum, and through this church, I found real God, and I felt His Spirit in me.
My name is Chrisia, and I'm ready.
Ready. Your name?
My name is Isabella, and I was lost, but now I see God's light.
Now you see God's light. Okay.
My name is Andrea. I was lost, but I'm welcoming Jesus now.
Walking with Jesus, yes. Now. Your name?
My name is Maggie, and I stumbled away from home, and now I'm home again.
Now you're home.
My name is Anna. I was once very overwhelmed and confused about God's purpose in my life because I'm a mom with three children. I wanted more. But I know that's enough, and I am at peace because I know that's what God has planted in my life. That is my purpose.
Hi, my name is Dory. I've been a longtime follower of Jesus for my whole life. I think with two kids and a stay-at-home mom, I want to declare my love for Jesus for myself, for my family, for my girls, and I know better time than right now.
I love it.
Josh, I'm Dory's husband, and I've been water baptized, but I'm just so happy and so proud for the decision she's making in front of everybody, in front of God, and I'm so proud. Yeah.
I'm Teresa, and I want to forget the past and start fresh and follow with Jesus.
I'm Steve. I once was lost, but now I found my purpose in life.
Yeah. What's your name?
Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
You want to share why you be baptized?
Because I believe in Jesus.
Because you love Jesus? That's all it takes.
My name's Kylie, and I was like really confused, and now I'm like certain about following Jesus.
I'm Evelina, and once I was lonely, but when I found out more about Jesus, he pulled me into the light more.
Oh, I love that.
My name is Viola, and I'm ready to publicly show my love for Jesus.
Let's do it.
I'm Jamel, and I was scared, but now I'm fearless.
Fearless. Love it.
My name is Anthony. I always followed Christ when I was young. Becoming a teenager, kind of drift. But he found me again, and now I'm with him.
You're with him.
My name is Tiffany. I've been broken many, many times, and I'm ready to be healed.
That's right. What we're going to do is, this is Amos Diener. He's one of our ushers. He's going to lead you out, and you'll get clothes. You can change and then be baptized. We're going to pray for you. If there are friends and family of anyone up here, you're welcome to surround our baptistry, which is out in where you would see it in Main Street. So I'm going to dismiss you guys. Okay, we'll be here. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these individuals, these men and women who have publicly made this statement. There's no turning back. And so God, I pray for this will be a defining moment for their faith. God, you would heal, restore, new life, new hope, new dreams, renewed purpose over their lives, your protection around their minds and their souls, God. And let this be a time where they see you clearly, just like Mary did. They're bringing their all and they don't care what anyone else thinks. So God, we thank you for that. And I just pray your blessing over them. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So while they're doing that, please don't leave. Please don't leave. We're not dismissed. We're gonna worship. And while we're worshiping, when they're ready, they're gonna just be baptized while we're worshiping here. All right? And so for the rest of us, this is a time to bring our worship fully surrendered and abandoned to who Jesus is. I don't know what you may be carrying. Maybe there's something that you need to release. Maybe there's something that you need to repent. Maybe there's something that you need to ask God to forgive you for. Maybe there's something that you know that there's a step to take. But this is a time for you and for me, for us to say, God, I don't want to let control. I don't want to let selfish ambition. I don't want to let certain things blind me for who Jesus is. I don't want to be deceived to not see Jesus. If the Pharisees and Judas who walked with, they saw Jesus in the flesh. This is what gets me every time. When they saw Jesus, I mean, Jesus knelt at Judas' feet and washed them. Yet Judas went on to betray him. And I'm like, God, if he can do that, please help me not to miss. And so as we worship, what worship does is it keeps our hearts soft. It keeps our minds fixed on him. It may not change all the situations around us, but it will change us because we're bringing our heart to him. So I just want to encourage us to worship. If you need prayer for any reason, we're going to have a prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. Maybe while everybody's celebrating, there's something really heavy that you're facing. Have somebody pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. You may feel like you're facing something that seems impossible. God can do the impossible. So have somebody pray with you. If you're new to Worship Center, newer to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. We'd love to help you get connected. Faith is not meant to be lived on your own. So we want to help you get connected any way that we can. And if you have children in our kids ministry, we went way over time. Make sure you give them a high five. I don't know what's happening over there, but make sure you are really kind to them and say thank you so much. So, all right, hey, have a great rest of your day and a great week, and let's stay connected this week.